making known the riches of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and on behalf of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, we are thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. As a listener-supported program, we are very grateful for your prayerful and financial support to continue to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Write us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Well, we're continuing this week on Abounding Grace, our study in Revelation, and now we come to the church in Philadelphia, generally known as the Faithful Church. Well, if we could summarize everything that we've been studying on Abounding Grace, the greatest single thread that has run through our study of the seven churches has been that of mission. That makes sense. Jesus said just before he ascended that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him, and that we are therefore to go and make disciples of all nations. Do we realize that this is the chief mission of the church? To evangelize the nations with the gospel and to have a real drive to do this. What we've seen in our study of these seven churches has been the continual problem of churches forgetting why they exist as a church. It's sad, you know, they either turned inward and became closed communities only speaking to themselves and forgetting why they were to be a beacon of light in the cities that God had placed them, or they had turned so outward that trying to be like the world and fit in with the world, they fell into the world. Today we come to the church in Philadelphia, and for me, this is such a relevant church to study for our context, because Christ is calling this church to be intentional in its ministry. In other words, he's calling the church to consider the context which Christ has placed them in, to analyze and consider what kind of city they are ministering in, and to recognize the unique opportunities in their context to minister the gospel. This is really important. This is what we do. We have to think about where God has placed us and what our challenges are and what the opportunities are. The amazing thing about this is that Christ has no criticism for this church. It was a very faithful church. But Christ was leading them forward. He was confronting in them doubts about how they were to minister in this environment, and he was extinguishing the fears they had due to certain obstacles and oppositions they were facing. This is going to be really good for us this week, because the Lord wants our churches to think about how we are ministering in our communities, how we are being intentional, and he is confronting certain fears and obstacles that we may feel hinders us from going forward. He calls us to trust him and go after the opportunities that he has given us wheresoever he has placed us. So that's the main point this week, that it comes in a question. Are we in our churches aware of the unique opportunity the Lord has given us in the cities where we reside? And are we as church bodies really thinking about this? Are we really going after it? See, Revelation chapter 3 tells us about the church in Philadelphia. Let me read that this morning, or today. This is chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this is an amazing section for us today. This is what Christ is calling this faithful church in Laodicea to do. Let's learn about how we can be faithful through studying and through the lens of what the church in Philadelphia faced so many years ago. So it begins here. You'll notice that in verse 6, it says, we read to the church, the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true. And then he quotes Isaiah 22:22. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. Understanding the situation in Philadelphia will be immensely helpful to us today. Philadelphia was quite an interesting city, especially for its very unique location. About 28 miles south of Sardis, the city lied right on a river, and it was built on one of the greatest of what is known as the Roman roads. What's interesting is that it was known as the center of Greco-Roman civilization, especially in the area of Greek language. It was known as the center for propagating the Greek language, and that was the intention of the city's founder. So it was designed to be a place that heavily influenced all the other cities in Greco-Roman culture. It would be similar to the phenomenon of what forms the cultural trends of our day. Unfortunately, many of the cultures in the United States, many of the cities, many of the places, and in Canada are infected with all the trash that comes out of Hollywood. Well, you know, that's kind of a center of what drives culture today. Well, this would have been similar to Philadelphia. It sat right on the border of Mysia, Lydia, and Phrygia. It was called the Keeper of the Gateway and was known as sitting on the threshold of the Eastern country. Now, here Christ has his church. While Satan viewed the city as a place for infecting the world with idolatry, Christ has a different intention for his church there. He strategically placed the church there to have a great influence in spreading the gospel. And so now we can understand a bit of the intro. Christ is raising the issue of his authority, his greatness, his holiness, and that he is the true witness. And immediately after saying this, he cites Isaiah 22:22 to remind them that he holds the key of David and that he opens and no one else shuts and no one else opens. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the keys of the kingdom. That authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, all authority, and that he is the supreme king that has been entrusted with, Revelation 1, the keys of death and Hades, the key that unlocks the door of heaven. It's really beautiful imagery, isn't it? You'll remember that Jesus constantly talked about gates and doors, the most potent being in the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, enter through the narrow gate, for broad is the way and wide is the path that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter in it, but narrow is the gate and small is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. So there are two gates that are open, and one is wide and it's luxurious, and many go through it into this life, and it takes them right down into hell. But then there's this small gate that leads to life. And here the Lord is telling them that he is opening and he is closing. But as the one who has that key of the kingdom, what great blessing and responsibility he has given to his church. He has entrusted those keys to his church. Jesus made this very clear in the earthly ministry. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So Christ is reminding this church that he had entrusted to them the very keys of the kingdom. What a responsibility. The Heidelberg Catechism, which was written so many years ago, explains this well in a simple question and answer. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? And the answer is the preaching of the holy gospel and church discipline. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is open to believers and closed to unbelievers. So Christ is saying your mission is to take these keys and proclaim that whoever believes in Jesus Christ and repents of his sins, they're saved. And whoever does not, they are condemned. That's the amazing thing about the responsibility of the Christian ministry. I mean, we're wielding the sword two ways. We're giving the truth, both truths. It cuts two ways. We give the message of salvation and that of judgment. And the amazing thing about this is that the Lord is not saying he will decide after the church has made the declaration. He's saying that when the church faithfully exercises these keys, what is decided on earth when church discipline is enacted is what is decided in heaven. That's what Jesus said. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. When the church does its job and preaches the gospel and disciplines, when someone rejects it and they make the declaration that people, anyone who rejects it is condemned, heaven has validated that. And anyone who believes and anyone who trusts Christ and believes and is saved and the church declares that they are forgiven based on the authority of Christ, Christ says, I have done that. So this is really beautiful and powerful. Jesus is saying, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, that's the background. So, what's he challenging this church with? The heart of this whole address is found in verse 8. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Now, I want you to think about what he just said. I just opened the door in your city to spread the gospel in such a way that people are going to respond. So in other words, I am giving you, dear Christians in Philadelphia, a door of opportunity. Now, do you realize this goes on? You know, 1 Corinthians, Paul described his work in Ephesus, and you know what he said? For a great and effective door has been opened for me. And then he said, I'm staying here until Pentecost because I realize the door has been opened wide. He has opened the door wide to the message. He said, that's what he said in Corinth. When Paul was in Rome under house arrest, he pleaded with Christians because of the opposition. He said, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. So he was saying, it's not open right now, but I need you to pray that the Lord would open a door. Now, are you overwhelmed by this? He's telling this church he just opened a door for them to go out and give the gospel and save those who believe. I don't know if we think about this, but this is our mission. God is opening up doors all the time that churches might be faithful in advancing his name. We're going to study this week. May we listen and heed and obey Christ and make known the gospel, and he will open the door of salvation wide to all those who hear. This program was brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio. We are a listener-supported program. We do ask for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.